welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we come at you once again with episode 244. It's an episode divisible by four. Therefore, ipso facto, in Haunt Weekly history, that makes this the news. Yeah. All right, I'm going to make the promise I always make with these. Yes, this is a difficult news episode. Yes, there's a lot of bad news. It's 2020, man. What do you want? You want us to lie to you? There's a lot of bad news. But I promise, once again, that if you stick with it and get through the other side, there's a couple of happier stories at the end. I always try to put something interesting, something fun at the end of these to kind of reward people who walk down Hell's Garden path with us to the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
you
yes.
You know, it had a garden path. That sounds so much nicer.
I believe it would be the one in Onik.
Oh, yeah, the Poison Garden.
Yeah. I believe it would be the Poison Garden, which actually is quite lovely.
It is.
Though it has the world's saddest pot plant.
It does, and also it has some really stupid guests.
Yes. Pot doesn't grow well in Northern England.
No.
Not at all. It's varies like a little...
Yes, and it was considered a poisonous plant.
Yes, it was in the Poison Garden. It was hilarious.
Well, tobacco was in there, too.
Yeah, tobacco was in there, too. And there were a lot of products you consumed, because one of the things they pointed out was they could change the name to the Medicinal Garden and not change a single plant.
Exactly.
So, something to think about. But anyways, if you want to come down Hell's Garden path with us, follow us at hauntweekly.com or hauntweekly on Twitter, hauntweekly on Facebook, youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. All the episodes are there. They go live there at the exact same smegging time. They go live on anywhere else. So, yes, we've been watching Red Dwarf.
Yes, because smegging's back in your vocabulary.
Also, you can find us at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, ever finer podcasts are distributed. Yep. And while you're at hauntweekly.com, do check out the recently updated COVID-19 page, hauntweekly.com/COVID-19. A bunch of links are there, including stuff that you can do to get your haunt on while you're stuck in quarantine, but also great advice for opening a haunt during these challenging times, including barbicide training, the guide, I'm trying to remember the name of the haunt now, I forgot, Fear Factory.
Okay, the Fear Factory. Like, don't look at me. I don't know what you're talking about.
The one that opened and published the neat guide on how they did it, and the ever-evolving guide. It's going to become a novel, I think, by the time this is done. It'll be printed in hardback. All those links are there and much, much more. And as always, feel free to check us out Sundays, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on our Facebook.com, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. We are doing this show. Now, most weeks I will publish the topic way in advance.
Yes.
This week I was a goddamn idiot and forgot to do it on Tuesday and did it about 3 hours before we went live.
Well, and part of that's because, you know, we know it's going to be the news.
Yeah, and that's just it. It's like, okay, we have the topic done.
Yeah.
You know, it was out of my brain. Like, this isn't a problem I have to solve. I've got to work on show notes. I don't have to solve the problem of thinking the topic.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway. Okay, we do have a few housekeeping notes before we jump into this week's stuff. First, we have transcripts now. We started last week with them. Unfortunately, the transcripts completely sucked.
Yes.
They were terrible. Now, they weren't completely useless. You can search for some terms. And funnily enough, the time where I tried to blow up their transcription service, it actually got that part right, but messed up the easier stuff.
Yeah.
Good work, Amazon. Good work. So, we think the problem is that our audio, well, okay-ish for human ears, may not be very good for computer ears. So, we're upgrading the audio setup we have.
Mm-hmm.
New microphones. New stuff coming in.
Right.
Hopefully all of that will address that issue. If not, we'll try a different transcription service. And if that fails, we may give up on this project.
Yes.
But we are working on it, I promise. Like I said, we've
got... On the transcription project, not on Haunt Weekly. Just in case anybody's confused.
We're always working on Haunt Weekly.
I know.
Not really. We're working on audio changes. We have... Like, there's already a lot of audio equipment in here that's just out of the sight of the camera. Mm-hmm. And the result of that, because that stuff is going to be used, hopefully, for much better quality audio in the next few weeks. Now, it may not help much with the live version.
Right.
Because we're kind of stuck with the live version. Because this computer, as good as it is like right on the edge of being able to run this podcast. You know what I mean? So we're kind of pushing our luck here a little bit. Yeah. So I don't think I can have it pass through and do the recording for the off versions while we have the external recorder here. So I don't want to do that, at least not without a lot of testing.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is it'll help the recorded version significantly, we hope. That's the idea. Also, we have an idea that we just started kicking around, like literally right before we got on.
Yeah.
In the midst of all this COVID business and the fact that the haunts are struggling, obviously.
Right.
But haunt vendors are struggling also, especially with the cancellation of all these great conferences.
Mm-hmm.
And even the conferences that are going on are not seeing the attendance they would normally.
Right.
So, yeah, we had an idea where instead of just like taking sponsors or something like that.
Right.
Every week, instead of doing a paid sponsorship, we would do a free vendor spotlight.
Right.
And ideally, we want to target, like, the smaller vendors.
Exactly.
The ones you might not know of. Everyone knows Fright Pop. Fright Pops. Fright Pops. That sounds like a cereal. I want some Fright Pops.
Yeah.
No, Fright Props, everyone knows. Everyone knows CFX.
Sounds like popsicles that are shaped like skeletons.
I am down for this.
Exactly.
I am down for this. So the idea is we do a short intro to who they are, where you can find their stuff, and mm-hmm. where you can throw money at them if you like it.
Okay.
So if that sounds good to you guys, let us know. Once again, hauntweekly.com, hauntweekly on Twitter, hauntweekly on Facebook. Let us know. Eager to hear. Okay. So this brings us to the question for the audit, question of the week, because I got things completely out of order in my notes. Mm-hmm. Good job, team.
Yes.
But it's okay. I think this order works better, actually.
It's fine.
First off, last week's question was, what would you buy?
Yes.
If money were no object, what would you buy for your haunt? And we really love the answer from Tim Fowler, is the winner from last week.
Yes, he's watching right now.
What was the name of the prop again?
Beast something pumpkin.
Yeah, it was a beast pumpkin, and it actually got us to look up the damned prop.
Yeah, I looked it up while we were on the podcast last week.
It's a pretty rocking prop. So, Tim, you got our curiosity and our heckles up, and mm-hmm. I appreciate that. We will get your address, your cell phone number, your personal contact information, your social security information, your bank account info, and all the other important details so we can send you a letter.
Yeah, exactly.
Your PayPal password.
Yeah, and basically what we've decided to do is send out prizes once a month. So, like, the ones for last month are going out tomorrow or Tuesday.
Yeah.
Probably tomorrow, but
it may
be
with the
Tuesday.
Mail service the way it is, it'll be there sometime 2021.
Yeah. Yeah. So you may have a little bit of a wait, but
it is coming.
That's what the idea is.
And we're going to have some cool Halloween stamps on them.
Yes.
So get excited. Those will be hitting the mail very, very soon. The basic idea is to try to do these in batches. And part of that is COVID-related. We just don't want to go out as much. But also, it's just easier to sit down and do it several at a time. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, this week's question of the week. What small item? I wanted to go the other direction.
Yeah.
Talked about big things that we wanted. What small item do you consider indispensable to your haunting? What's something, and I'm thinking something small, something cheap, maybe it's small, maybe not physically.
Right.
But something that is just indispensable to you. Now, like a good example is I had one person tell me ChapStick was indispensable.
Yeah.
Because they worked in a cold environment, they were outdoor haunting in a cold environment, and if they did not have ChapStick on their lips every 30 goddamn minutes, their lips would have frozen together, and mind you, it would have been a pretty cool effect, but not very good for a Q-line actor.
Yeah, no.
Not ideal. Not ideal. So, that was a good answer. I don't remember who it was that told me that, but I've always thought of that. And I realized for me what my indispensable prop is. And I'm actually kind of hurting because I don't know where to get more.
Okay.
My cane.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The cane, Bernie Baxter has bamboo canes. Now, this has two functions. One, it's great for the... Well, actually, it's three. One, it's great for the character. I can twirl it. I can do little things and entertain. Two, I can get scares with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how you can get people to jump by slamming a bamboo cane against a wooden plank. But three, and this is the important reason I love it, is because I have to interact with the crowd and get them in the queue line. It lets me corral people and hold them in place without touching them.
Yeah.
Most nights, I never come in physical contact with anyone that visits or haunt. Because I have the cane, and they try to barge in, I can use the cane and not my arm to block them.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. I thought you were going to say your counter
yeah.
to count how many people came through.
Yeah, but the counter went broke one year, went and died on us one year, and that didn't end the haunting. It just ended the statistics.
Yeah, I'm still not sure that it did break. But anyway, that's another
I'm gonna,
story.
Yeah, we're going to work on that.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
Mine's zip ties.
Yes.
Because, you know.
Well, and zip ties are great for everything.
Yeah.
Like costume issues.
Right.
Your pants not flowing the right way.
Yeah.
Something catching. Zip tie.
Yeah. Or if
just don't do it too tightly and cut off circulation. It's not a tourniquet.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Chris Gay will tell you all about tourniquets.
Yeah,
and how
talk
to
Chris Gay
them.
About tourniquets. We're yes. not experts on tourniquets.
No. But yeah, if a costume is too big for someone, you can also bunch it up mm-hmm. and zip tie around it. And
yeah.
Or if something breaks and it's not usually an impact place, but apparently it was this time, you can quickly get it back together,
yeah.
at least till the end of the show.
Yeah, they're good for quick fixes of just about any nature. That's a good point. And you mm-hmm. being the general on the inside, operating the inside of house,
right.
you're always fixing those little odds and ends.
Yeah.
I mean, So I usually come in at the end of the night. I usually come into a haunt with a few extra zip ties than when I left at the start
yeah.
doing frontal housework.
Well, we've gotten a lot better.
Yeah, we have
about building to, you know, customer destruction standards.
Yeah, one of the secrets was we just assumed every wall is an impact wall and
every surface is an impact wall.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, zip ties for her, my cane for me. Both great answers. Want to hear yours. We'll come back to them at the end.
Yep.
All right. So, as we mentioned before, it's time to do the news. And, yeah, we've got a lot of articles. And I want to be very, very clear this week. I know I say this a lot of months. Oh, we had to cut so much out. I think this time only half the links we set aside made it in.
Yeah.
I legit do. And even then, we have 14 links.
Yeah.
15
and
links. A lot of links. We have a lot of links.
Yeah. Yeah, there's 14 and then two more if we get to them.
Yeah.
Which, considering this intro, we might not.
Yeah.
But I think that maybe we should add those others into the show notes, and so they're still available for people if they want a
okay.
place to find them.
Sounds good. Well, we may just mention them super briefly on the way out.
Okay, that's fine.
But anyways, beginning the news this week, the first one, the story, everyone has already heard. We don't really need to explain it.
Yeah.
Halloween Horror Nights is canceled for 2020. It's from the HHN Facebook feed. And yeah, basically, they announced that they didn't see a path forward with HHN this year. It's really sad, but I think very understandable. And honestly, the writing was on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually during the doldrums, why are you jumping on me? You hate me. That was I'm sorry, I did not mean to nearly spike the cat. he was moving. He's okay, by the way.
Okay.
But anyways, basically, we usually survive on a drip feed of news from HHN.
Yes.
Usually they're announcing one house every month.
Right.
And when they announce a house, we talk about the property, we talk about the use of it. And long story short, we've not had that. Right now, we should theoretically have known almost every single house
yeah.
that they were going to have. Sorry, I had to throw a cat out because
yes.
he was bumping the microphone, and that is going to be dangerous.
Yep.
Anyways, it was going to be HHN's 30th year celebration this year, and like I said, we have not been getting that drip feed of new content. They've not been talking about or posting what they're doing. Usually by now we have a few leaks,
mm-hmm.
some samples of what they're building.
Yeah.
We don't this year. And yeah, so the writing was kind of on the wall. Though weirdly, I saw posts that they were recruiting actors as recently as July 5th, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously they had the wheels rolling so they could,
right.
if something changed, which makes sense. I mean,
Yeah, you've got to prepare.
You've got to prepare just in case, because this is such an unpredictable situation mm-hmm. that until the moment you pull the trigger and cancel, you've got to act like you're going forward, which is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, basically they decided to cancel. It's both Hollywood and Orlando. And given the rise in coronavirus cases in both of those states, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. And speaking of not surprising,
yeah,
Disneyland has canceled Oogie Boogie Bash due to Corona.
Yeah.
This article is by Orange County Register, Brady
McDonald.
And this actually has a paywall, the site does.
Whoops.
So, but basically, you know, they just, it's in line with everything else Disney has been canceling because of parades.
Yeah.
And other things. They just can't do it.
I had to look up what Oogie Boogie Bash was.
Oh.
I'd heard of it, yeah. But I didn't realize what it actually was.
Yeah.
I knew it was an event, but what is this event?
Yeah, it sounds like a big block party.
And that's kind of what it is. Basically, it's a separate ticket event. Yeah. You show up after hours at Disney World, and you get to wear costumes, adults and kids alike. It's one of the few times ever, because Disney World typically has a very strict policy against costume wearing.
Right.
They don't want customers being mistaken for cast members. They forego that rule during Oogie Boogie Bash.
Yeah.
That's cool, but it's not happening this year. No. Which, I mean, they already canceled Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween.
Yeah.
And other Halloween festivities. And they also closed Stitch's Great Escape, too.
Right.
Bastards. That has nothing to do with coronavirus. It was just in the news.
Yeah.
And they closed it, an unrelated issue. I was like, oh, come on, the last vestiges of Alien Encounters is now gone.
Yeah, well, maybe they'll bring it back as something else. Maybe something scary again.
Maybe. That'd be nice. But, you know, I don't know. But anyways, yeah, Oogie Boogie Bash is not happening in 2020. Keeping the streak going, aren't mm-hmm. we? Freakling Brothers cancels its 2020 Halloween shows and haunted houses in Las Vegas. This is an article by Amy Abelsaid, we'll remember that, at KTNV Las Vegas. Yeah, Freakling Brothers is, from most metrics I've seen, it's the largest and most popular haunted house in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
They have announced the cancellation of the 2020 season. They're planning on returning in 2021. They said, per current regulations, do not allow us to present our horror shows with the intensity that we are famous for. And so they opted to cancel. Now, they're making it sound like this is an issue of we couldn't put on the quality of show we wanted.
Right, exactly.
And I kind of get that. I mean, if you're known for being real up close, real personal, real aggressive, this may not, 2020 may not be the year for
you. Right. Yeah, and that is what they're known. And this is actually the one that our winner, Shannon, mentioned as on her bucket list of haunts. So, it sounds like they do a very intense in-your-face show, and they can't do that, so they just rather not water it down for people.
Yeah, and they're planning on coming back in 2021.
Yeah.
They hyped up their 2021 show.
Mm-hmm.
And I find all this interesting because the Las Vegas mayor has been all but doorknob licking when it comes to coronavirus. They've been very aggressive about trying to reopen the casinos and the strip and getting things going in that city again and doing whatever they can to you know, sort of get things back to normal, even with the risks. So, you know, Freakling Brothers just decided that they couldn't do what they wanted to do with the regulations, and rather than put on half a show or, you know, or something lightweight, they just decided to cancel and come back.
Yeah. So next we have a permanent closing of Springfield Haunted Attraction. This is by the Springfield News Sun and Natalie Jones. I got an easy name.
Yeah, no, shut up.
So the Horror Acres Haunted House in Springfield, Ohio announced its permanent closure. It includes the Horror Acres, and they apparently have a corn maze. It's the Maze of Insanity, and it's M-A-Z-E, because of course it is. It's fun. But no real details are known about it. They just posted on Facebook that they're closing.
Yeah, this one's really, really weird. Like every other one we've talked about here, including Disney.
Yeah.
Halloween Horror Nights, Disney, Freakling Brothers, they all posted lengthy explanations as to what happened, their plans for the future, why they're doing this. There's a really good conversation. This one was just like a Facebook post, two sentences. We decided to make 2019 our last season. We're done. Thank you. You know, we're out.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of weird for a permanent closure to not have, you know, an actual statement or anything. I mean, you better believe that the year we announce we're closing permanently, I'm going to have a statement a quarter.
Oh, yeah, a statement a quarter plus probably an interview and a video that we produce and put out there for people.
So, yeah, we're going to, it's going to be, I'm not going quietly into the good night.
No.
But, you know, that's the approach they chose. That's fine. That's their prerogative.
Yeah.
It just doesn't give us a lot to go on because they don't say why they chose to close. I mean, obviously, the real suspicion is coronavirus. Of course, probably they were going to have to cancel their 2020 season, and they didn't. Maybe they didn't see the ability to, you know, keep the ship afloat until 2021. So just close it now, cut losses, and, you know, I get that. That's frustrating. It sucks, but it's also completely understandable.
Yeah, it is.
All right, speaking of haunts, this one, though, is not a permanent closure. Southern Doors Haunted Mansion, canceled by coronavirus fears. This article by Action 2 News involves Brussels, Wisconsin. Wisconsin. There's like an... Why do you say Wisconsin when it's obviously Wisconsin? What, I don't know. Words are weird, man. Words are weird. But Southern Door, which is a actual... I had to look this up. It's a county in Wisconsin. They have a haunted mansion. Brussels is the main town, the seat in this town, this county. But the haunted mansion will not open its doors this year. It actually supports the Southern Door County School District. That's a mouthful of a school district name. It would have been the haunt's 15th year in a row. So they're basically, they're as old as we are in this. That's impressive. And they are one of the district's largest fundraisers, too. And right now, rural school districts are facing a lot of unique challenges. I mean, pressures to reopen, facing possible cutbacks from government funding.
Right.
Uncertainty about safety and things like that. There's a lot of challenges there. And I cannot imagine losing a key source of funding is helping any of them.
No, that's very true.
And... long story short, they canceled it for the obvious reason, health and safety concerns.
Right.
They said they didn't see a way that they could guarantee everyone's safety. They closed it. They decided not to have it this year. It's probably the right call, but man, I feel very, very bad for the Southern Door County School. I don't know much about Southern Door County other than I'm starting to feel like I'm getting high by saying it repeatedly.
Okay.
Southern Door County. It's like a weird random assortment of words.
Yeah.
That somehow come together to make a county name. It's weird. But anyways, then again, I live in, you know, Orleans Parish, so who the hell am I to say anything?
Yeah,
we don't live in counties, we live in parishes.
Yes, yes, we do.
We live in French land. But yeah, it's a completely understandable decision. I support them. I just, like I said, my heart goes out to them, because especially the way school districts are struggling.
Yeah, maybe they could do... they could do something online, online fundraiser, with casting characters. Mm-hmm. Maybe that could work. Okay, so next up, guess what?
Another cancellation. Yay!
Twisted Crypt Haunted House has suspended its 2020 season due to COVID. This article's by Ben Safarbi at 23WIFR.
Or Whiffer, as I've been saying all day. They call him Whiffer. Whiffer.
This is in Rockford, Illinois. Twisted Crypt Haunted House has... They just don't believe it'll be possible to run it successfully.
Yeah.
And, you know, the possible risk outweigh any benefit.
Yeah.
So...
And that's one of the interesting things here is looking at why the various ones are deciding to close... Like, when we started seeing that cancellations were inevitable, my working theory, and this is going to sound backwards, was that larger haunts were going to be more likely to cancel than smaller haunts and charity haunts. And there was a reason for that. A lot of the larger haunts are definitely in the mass haunt game. You can't take away half of their throughput and have them have any hope of making a profit.
Yeah.
You just can't do it. So, yeah, do the smaller haunts and charity haunts have issues with getting, you know, the social distancing and getting the cleanliness together? Yes. But, in many cases, they're doing it as second or third jobs. They're doing it for a charity. But can lose a significant part of the throughput and still at least keep the lights on.
Right.
Or lights off, in this case. That seems to not be panning out. It seems to be striking large and small haunts about equally right now.
Yeah, and it does. And, you know, and people who are planning on opening aren't getting very positive feedback at the moment.
No.
From a lot of people.
Well, and I think that's one of the things you have to consider in making that decision.
Yeah.
Is are people going to feel comfortable going to a haunted attraction?
Yeah, like right now, we don't feel comfortable eating at a restaurant.
Yeah. And it was interesting because I was thinking about, you know, we learned, and this is one of the articles that, and they may also be covered, is that Terror on the Coast, which is in Gulfport, Mississippi,
right,
far from us, is holding actor auditions. They're planning on opening. And my thought was, well, if they open, do I go? Because I have a feeling we're not going to have our usual spate of New Orleans, since we already lost Scout Island.
Right.
I have a strong feeling we're going to lose at least a few others.
Yeah.
Bare minimum, a few others.
Yeah.
I don't know who. I'm not guessing, but I have a feeling that others are going to be announcing cancellations probably sometime next month. But so, yeah, I mean, we may have time to go. Because we haven't been going to Terror on the Coast because of time constraints.
Yeah.
It's far out there, and it's really the only haunt that's that direction.
Right, exactly.
It's just a trip to Terror on the Coast. We might have the time. We might be able to fit it in, but would I feel comfortable going to that haunt? I'm asking myself these questions.
Yeah.
And I don't have good answers.
No.
And I love my haunts. I mean, last year when we were canceled due to road work, I hated. I got depressed. I think I stayed solid drunk for like a week after we made that decision.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in a bad place for a while there. I'm not going to even pretend. But I at least had the comfort of knowing we had our haunt trips. We were going to go see the haunted houses. We were going to have our own fun. And we were just going to be customers for a year.
Yeah.
I don't even get that in 2020.
No, and I think that that's going to hit a lot of people really hard.
Yeah,
because it's not just, you know, losing haunts to go to or to work at. Yeah. It's, you know, there's not a lot going on.
There's not going to be a lot of Halloween activities full stop. We've decided, no matter what, we're upping our yard display game this year.
Yes.
We're going all out on the yard display this year. That's where we're investing the time and the money, no matter what.
Yeah, and we have a small enough crew that we're going to try to get everybody that's able to come together for a socially distanced event of some kind.
Yeah.
On that night, but, yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to try to do something. But long story short, it's a situation where we... yeah, we're thinking about these things and realizing we're losing the whole of the haunt season this time around. Last year sucked enough. This year's going to suck worse.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways, moving on to what is a little bit happier. This is interesting. I found this one particularly interesting. Louisville Halloween announces a mixture of cancellations and openings.
Yeah.
They basically put on a variety of haunted attractions and events in the Louisville, Kentucky area. And this is from their Facebook page, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And they've announced that this show is going to be a little different.
Yeah.
Basically, they said there will be one attraction, Danger Run, that will be entirely in your car. They marked that as a low-risk activity, which, okay, can't argue that.
Yeah.
Then there will be one outdoor attraction called Ultimate Halloween that will be open with time ticketing, with all these changes they're going to make. But it will be open. They cite that as a low to medium risk.
Right.
And then they said the Halloween in the Garden is an outdoor party will take place with super distance tables, limited interaction. They're killing the dance floor and stuff like that. They're making changes to it, but it will take place. They call that low to medium risk as well. Then there's the Louisville Parade and Festival that is canceled as a high risk event.
Yeah.
And the Black Orchard Haunted House is also high risk. It too is canceled.
Yeah.
So what they're doing is they're looking at their individual events, and if they can find a way to push that risk down the spectrum, they're doing it. Because that's what they're doing, for example, with Ultimate Halloween, where they're doing time ticketing, they're making all these changes, socially distant seating, and all that.
Right.
Long story short, too late. they've got a good head on their shoulders here. I think they're right that the parade and festival couldn't happen, can't happen. As can't the haunted house, the traditional haunted house.
Yeah.
But there may be a chance to have those others, especially with the precautions they're putting into effect.
Yeah, which, you know, that's at least something. It sounds like it'll be fun. So I would definitely consider going to some of the events if I were in the area.
I would want to hear more about what they were doing with that outdoor one. I think it's Ultimate Halloween.
Yeah.
Before I made a judgment call. Then the car one, I mean, we're going to be talking more about car-based haunts in a little bit, but I get nervous when I think about combining cars and scare actors personally.
Yeah, and we will get to that, but I'm still curious about them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very curious how this is going to work.
Yeah, me too.
So.
Very curious indeed.
Yeah. All right.
And haunt conference news.
Yes. Legendary Haunt Tour has officially canceled. This was posted on their Facebook page. It was to include Mortuary, 13th Gate, New Orleans Nightmare, and Rise.
Yeah, all the big local haunts.
Yeah, yeah, and you know they're pushing it back to 2021.
And it's gonna be the same four haunts.
Okay.
They're doing the exact same run, but it'll just be next year.
Yeah. So, yeah, not really a surprise because you know you don't want to put a lot of people on buses, and get everybody sharing that.
Well, so. And you know, we've already lost one haunt locally for the 2020 season. I don't want to speculate on who else, but it's highly likely we're going to face other losses.
Yeah.
I mean, it's highly likely, and it's just math. I don't really know. Honestly, I don't know how any haunt is going to operate, especially ones with the volume of 13th Gate and Rise and all these haunts, basically, are high-volume haunts. I don't know how they're going to operate.
Yeah, I don't either.
So, I'm not surprised by the cancellation, but still, it's just another blow.
Mm-hmm.
But here's something that's opening, or reopening, rather.
Yes.
Some good news now. This is an article by Sal Pizarro at the Mercury News. The Winchester Mystery House has reopened, and they're doing things really different.
Yes.
Because it used to be, and I'd heard about this from multiple places, you had to take a virtual tour of the Winchester Mystery House.
Right.
You can find it at homeweekly.com/COVID-19. We have a link to it. Got to get them promos in, man.
Exactly.
But now they're opening up for tours, but it's a new touchless experience.
Yes.
And this new touchless experience works by basically, you will go with a group of people from the same household, like me, you, and Ellie could go.
Right.
We would go there, and then we basically check in through a contactless system, and then we roam the house. They have a path, the path that you were on, and they have guides stationed at various intervals, I'm assuming with social distancing and masks, in effect, but at various intervals to help you out.
Mm-hmm.
But you basically get, instead of a guided tour with a whole herd of humanity being shuffled from room to room in this house, you get to roam and explore.
Yeah, and this sounds like the perfect way to see this, honestly. Because you get your small group, you get people telling you, you know, all about the rooms, 6 feet away, masks were required, I saw that. So, I would love to go to this and see it.
Get your butt to San Jose.
Well, you know, what else are we doing?
Good point. Now, you do have to buy your tickets online. Duh moment, right? I mean, online ticketing is just going to be a way of life for a long, long time now. I think we're just going to be seeing a lot of that. But yeah, long story short, too late. God damn it. I do say that a lot.
Yeah.
Shut up. but yeah, I think this is really cool. And I think this is a way to turn a negative, oh, we're limited in what we can do because of COVID, into a positive, but we get to give this really unique experience that is so 2020, and people are going to be super interested in going. And even if they've been to the Winchester Mystery House before, this is something they've never done.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So if I were in San Jose, even if I've been to the Winchester Mystery House 100 times, I might be checking it out again for this.
Right.
Just saying.
Yep, no, I completely agree. So, this is another good story. Good feel-good story.
Yeah, like I said, I'm supposed to get some feel-good stories in there.
Exactly. So, Scare House has breathed new life into the dead with the redesign of Kennywood's classic old mill. And that's mill.
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 I'm gonna blame the cat stabbing you with its claw the meow.
Yes, and Ellie will blame my accent. I know. I can hear you already. Anyway, so this article's by Joe Kleinman at the In Park magazine. So Kennywood Park is just outside of Pittsburgh, and it has been a ride in the past.
Yes. It's been a ride pretty much for a long, long time.
Yeah. Yeah. For 150
years. It's 150 years old, yeah.
Yeah, it's 150 years old. And basically, it looks like a log flume ride. Yeah. Because it's a water ride. So they've redone the interior completely. They're going back to an old theme, which I love the name of.
Yeah.
Hard-headed Harold's horrendously humorous haunted hideaway. This is the first time that Hard-headed Harold, which that is a mouthful, will be featured.
I was about to complain that I got all the hard-to-pronounce stuff this episode somehow, but I'm going to shut up now. I'm just going to sit here and sip my soda and just breathe it in a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah. But
so it's replacing Garfield's Adventure.
Which sounds like it sucked.
Well, it sounds generic.
Yeah, it does.
This they've blacklight paint everywhere, and it looks really cool. So,
yeah, and that's what they're going for, is a blacklight paint looking attraction. Yeah. And they're actually bringing Hard-headed Harold to life in this.
Exactly.
Which something that did not exist in the previous iteration.
Yeah, maybe they'll use the 12-foot skeleton for Hard-headed Harold.
This reminds me, though, a lot of that thing we did at Eckert's Fun Farm, at least in spirit.
Yeah.
Because they seem to be going, it's very lighthearted, from what I can tell. It's not, like, super scary.
Right.
It's very lighthearted. And the thing at Eckert's Fun Farm we did, where you go through and it's like a no-actor haunt.
Yeah.
You go through and you activate all the scenes yourself, and they're all animatronic and pneumatic-based. And
yeah.
It tells a story about this crazed inventor, and he kept blowing himself up in comical ways. It was fun.
It was interesting.
I enjoyed it, and it was an interesting idea. I don't know if I'd recommend it for anyone over the age of, like, 6, but... But as a haunty guy, I found it very interesting.
Yeah. It was an interesting concept.
All right. Forsyth County Haunted House getting a reboot this fall. Article by Kelly Whitmire at Forsyth County News. That name of the county comes into play.
Yeah.
It does. yes, but in Forsyth County, Georgia, which is just north of Atlanta, it turns out. In fact, this theoretically could have been something we could have reached on our Atlanta tour. It's close enough.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of, Atlanta's kind of weird with haunts. There's not much in, like, Atlanta.
Yeah.
It's all around the city.
Right.
It's like the third ring of the bullseye is where all the haunts are. It's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. But anyways, neither here nor there. The Cummings Scare Fair is rebranding itself to the Forsyth's Haunted Attraction. They wanted to change the name to avoid confusion with the Cumming County Fair, Cumming being the main town in Forsyth County.
Right.
The haunt itself will open for 11 days, the entire 11-day run of the county fair, and also the 2 weekends after. So it'll be 11 straight days. They're kind of doing it weird. They're doing their hell 11 days.
Yes.
Their hell fortnight. early in October, while the county fair is a thing, then just doing weekends the last 2 weeks of October, including Halloween this year. The scare fair will still be used for the last 2 week. Name will still be used in the last 2 weekends because they're adding vendors and a clown circus maze attraction. Okay. Customers will be purchasing specific tickets, and they will be corralled and socially distanced before they are let in. So they are investing in corrals for the groups.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
It sounds like not a terrible solution. And it raises money for the Relay for Life and the American Cancer Society, which is awesome. Good charities, and seems like a good organization. It seems like they're trying to do this relatively responsible, too. They didn't talk very much about the COVID stuff in this article. This is more focused on the name change and, and the planned reopening.
Mm-hmm.
But still, very, very... This will only be their second year.
No.
So, should be fun.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yes. So... this one we've actually reached out to James about.
Yeah, and I've reached out to a few others too.
To get their take on this. But so dismissed Farmageddon actor has been cleared by police for an incident involving a 15-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he's innocent.
And I believe he is.
Yeah. So, this is actually located in the UK, in Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
And a Q Line actor has... Well, basically, he kind of trapped a girl.
Yeah.
And...
In like the corner of one of the bins of the Q Line.
Exactly. And he says that he was getting, you know, praises for his acting by his bosses and didn't see anything wrong with what he did. But the video went viral, and you can watch it for yourself and make your own determinations.
Yeah, I'll try to remember to drop a link to an article with the video in it.
Yeah.
This one doesn't include it, but right. Another article on the same site does.
Yeah. Yeah, but basically he put his foot up on a rail and
it's a very high rail, to be clear.
And he said he grabbed the other rail on the other side for balance because he was on one foot by this point.
Yeah, and was unsteadily rocking,
gyrating.
It's tough to come up with the word to describe
the
motion. And the girl felt this was, maybe sexual assault is too strong, but felt this was inappropriate.
Yeah, and her mother did too.
Yeah, and she, according to them, she went home crying, traumatized, and vomiting from the experience.
Right.
Which is completely, you know...
Not what you want from the
house. Yeah, it's not what you want. You don't want that as a Q Line actor. That's the last thing you want. Haunt doesn't want that full stop. You want people... Okay. Why do people go to haunted houses? If you say to get scared, you're answering wrong.
Yeah.
It's to have fun through getting scared.
Right.
If it's not ultimately fun, if they're not leaving with smiles,
mm-hmm.
then they're not coming back.
Right.
If you give someone PTSD and traumatize them, they're never coming back.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about it is, and I read this article, it's a very lengthy article, and I read the previous coverage of it. This actor, I don't believe, did anything malicious or anything bad. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he didn't do, I mean... He put himself in a risky situation.
Yeah.
Anytime you stay in someone's personal space for an extended period of time, and we know he was there for at least 21 seconds, because that's the length of the video,
yeah.
and it's assumed he was there significantly before and after that, or at least somewhat after that. And basically, the longer you stay in someone's personal space, the more likely something gets misinterpreted.
Right.
You accidentally brush the wrong thing. You accidentally make a motion that comes across as sexual, especially when you're dealing with a 15-year-old girl.
Right.
Things happen, and he trapped her into the corner, like you said, put his foot up, and yeah, I believe him when he says, I was just doing that as a power move. That's something that my character does.
Right.
I get that. Totally reasonable. But you combine all these elements, and in a 21-second video that gets shared and goes viral online, it looks like you are basically thrusting your crotch at a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah.
It's open to misinterpretation. And my belief is, and this comes from what he said, I think everyone's telling the truth here, by the way. I don't think anybody's lying.
No.
Because I think what he said is true, which is he talked to his, talked to the people at the haunt, he talked to his superiors, he got, you know, guidance on how close is too close, can he do this, can he do that, he got all this guidance, and then went out and did it, and his haunt was unwittingly encouraging risky behavior that was open to misinterpretation.
Right.
And he got bit in a very horrible and, unfair way.
Yeah, because he was fired pretty much on the spot.
Yeah, after the video went viral.
Yeah. Yeah, they called him in, showed him the video, and told him that he was fired. No, they didn't tell him he was fired.
No.
They posted on Facebook that he had been fired.
Yeah, he learned from Facebook, which is also horrible.
Yeah. So it sounds like management needs some training, too.
Well, and management, according to him, they didn't have a code of conduct for the haunt until after the incident.
Yes.
And, more disturbingly to me, there was no CCTV on site. The only video of this incident that exists is the one that was recorded by the customer.
Yeah. And her friends had, according to the article, had asked him to come over to terrorize her because she was trying to hide.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Get your scares, but get your scares. I was always taught scare and retreat.
Yeah.
And the retreat is for both them and for you.
Yeah.
So you don't get punched.
Yeah.
And so they get a respite and they get a chance to recover. Yeah, she's still reacting the whole time. She's reacting because you're traumatizing her.
Yeah. Yeah, and you might not realize that 20 seconds when you're scared can feel a lot longer.
Oh, God, yes.
So.
Feels like forever.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've ever had a moment in your life where you have been truly scared, like I, at the time I was on my run and a very bad car accident happened near me.
Yeah.
I was pretty fast back in those days.
Yeah.
I probably got onto the scene of the car accident in less than 10 seconds from when it happened. Mm-hmm. It felt like eternity, though.
Yeah.
I felt like I was running through water trying to get to that accident.
Yeah.
Think about that. Time slows down in those situations.
Right.
So your perspective as the person who's, you know, giving the scare is going to be very different as the person who's receiving it in this case. So, I mean, the thing is, and I got into a bit of a conversation on Reddit about this.
Uh-huh.
I said the behavior was risky. I feel pretty confident that was risky behavior.
Yeah.
And if this is something that your haunt is doing, this type of thing where you're trapping and doing this, you might need to rethink your policies.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, if you think this can't be misinterpreted, the fact this is a news story shows that it can. And yeah. The fact it went viral shows thousands of people misinterpreted it.
Yeah.
So, be thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Oh, we get to end on a... Well, not end, but...
Not end yet.
But we get to... Next up is a copyright story, actually.
Yes.
And it's not actually related to a haunted attraction, but I think you'll quickly figure out why I put it in the notes. It makes sense here.
Yes, it does.
This is an article by Michael Karlick?
Yeah.
Karlick? Karlick with a K? Anyway. At Corallo... Neil Karlick, screw up Colorado politics. Good job. Good job. You're a pro.
Yep.
All right, the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals has revived a copyright lawsuit over a skeleton.
Yeah.
Basically, this is a case called where Balanced Body University is apparently a training program for Pilates instructors. They featured a skeleton manufactured by Zahoric, I never even thought about pronouncing that, Zahoric Systems in their ad. They published an ad that had a skeleton in it for reasons, Pilates, I don't know. John Zahoric, the founder of Zahoric Systems, because there's no way that one...
No.
There's no other way you got to Zahoric, I can guarantee you that.
Yeah.
Filed a copyright lawsuit that was initially tossed. The reason being, according to the lower court, was that skeletons can't qualify for copyright protection. They are useful articles. You can't copyright the human bone structure, so on and so forth. But the Tenth Circuit sent it back, saying, quote unquote, a finder of fact could reasonably attribute this usefulness to dealing with the useful article statute, which says if something's purely a useful article, you can't copyright it. This usefulness to the information that the mannequin, which, by the way, is the name of the product, mannequin, M-A-N-I-K-I-E-N, because screw you, the mannequin conveys about the human anatomy. So basically they're saying the usefulness of it might be in what is taught using it,
right?
Not the skeleton itself. And such, it may contain copyrightable elements, and it's sent back to the lower court for further analysis. Now, this doesn't mean that you can copyright a skeleton yet. We're not at that point yet. But this is now a case for haunters to watch. Because if you feature your Buc-ee's or whatever in ads, this could theoretically come back to bite you. You could theoretically be sued over this. Now, be clear, and we can do a whole episode or something on this later. You can still have them in your haunt. You can still use them.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not. On public display and performance. Oh, crap. there's a lot of issues here. But the main thing is to keep an eye on this case and see what the copyrightability of a skeleton is.
Yeah.
Because if it is showed that a fairly anatomical skeleton is copyrightable, then there could be issues for haunts, especially as they use them in advertising and media.
Yeah. And we've actually run into something similar. This reminded me of the plagiarism analysis, where I was looking at photos in one book, comparing it to photos in another. They had actually hired an artist to do these drawings of, they were anatomically correct drawings of different body parts. You know, so it reminds me of that.
Yeah.
And that was definitely infringement. So it really wants me to push people to work with smaller producers. You know, go to those smaller vendors who have their copyrights. Get, you know, do we need clearances now? Do we need to start doing clearances
for people? You know, I would say that when you buy a skeleton aimed at, like, the haunt community, there's an implied license to use it in the haunt.
Right.
Just like if you buy a mask, there's an implied license you're going to use it in some theatrical performance or something like that, or a haunted attraction. But, yeah, but maybe it doesn't go as far as putting it into an ad or putting it in a YouTube video.
Right, exactly.
And that's just it. We don't know, and this is something that's typically not been fought over. Uh-huh. Because typically, people like Mr. John Zahorik.
Yes.
Zahorik. are typically just happy to sell their goddamn skeletons.
Right.
And don't really care what you do with them after the fact.
No.
You know, they don't really want to control the photo rights to their skeleton. But we're seeing it now, and if he does ultimately prevail, it could lead others to see opportunity in enforcing those rights as well.
Yeah.
So, it's just something to watch is where I'm putting that right now. Don't panic yet. Don't change anything yet. Watch.
No.
Fair enough? Cool.
Yes.
One more happy story.
All right. So, a new drive-through Halloween attraction coming to Orlando. We told you we would get back to cars. So, this is from...
Cars. Cars.
Fox 13, Tampa Bay, in Orlando, Florida. The Haunted Road is a new Halloween attraction where guests will stay fully in their cars and just drive through the thing. So it's going to do contactless check-in via license.
Which I thought that was freaking cool. I got to be honest.
Yeah, that's good. Nightmarish scenes. It's going to be focused on the untold story of Rapunzel.
I never thought of that as one needing to tell the untold story, but...
Well, so...
I'm intrigued. Original,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm highly intrigued. It just never occurred to me that Rapunzel might have an even darker...
I don't think I've read the original Rapunzel.
That's fair. I've read
other original fairy tales.
Oh, what, you're saying Tangled's not the original?
No. But I was thinking more of Little Red Riding Hood. The story you're told as a kid is not the original.
No, God, no.
The original story is much more frightening. So maybe the Rapunzel's the same one.
Fair enough.
And yeah. I just haven't gotten to it yet.
Fairy tales are horrifying.
They are. They were intentionally horrifying.
Yeah, they were meant to scare children. Yes. Literally, this is
why they were made up. We're going to have to do a whole thing on fairy tales now.
Yeah.
Hey,
I'm down.
I'll work on it. So, anyway, there will be a family-friendly version during the day. Probably less scares or no scare actors. Just drive
less blood and guts, or I don't know.
Yeah, who knows. But it's they are doing casting for it the August 13th through the 16th.
So if you're in the area and looking for
haunt. Yeah, I mean, I...
And especially with HHN and Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween canceled, there's going to be a glut of actors looking for something to do.
Yeah.
This is a safe, socially distanced, well, other than cars and haunting, which I'm still a little nervous about.
It's $15. Mm-hmm. I don't know what... I mean, I guess if you don't have any actors between scenes and you... Say, okay, start your car, go until you see lights, turn your car off or nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
Then that could be a safe way.
Yeah, I think the way, like, I think what Rise does with their haunted hayride.
Yeah, exactly.
Where you go from building to building. You just don't have anything in the stretches between the buildings. But you go into the building, they put something like a barricade or something. Stop here.
Yeah.
Like one of those swing arms or whatever.
Yeah.
Stop here. And you stop there, kill the car, scene happens all around you. And then the scene's over, arm comes up, and you go to the next scene.
Yeah.
I could see that working.
Exactly. Or even traffic cones just put out.
Yeah.
That would be quick to put out and cheap, too, and to move out of the way.
Yeah. You could. There's ways you could handle it, but I would... I mean, obviously, the mix of cars and haunt, you lose the COVID fears, but you gain some new ones.
Yeah. Accidents are possible.
Yes. Well, we have just a couple more minutes yet. We're technically over our 50-minute mark, but we got a few more minutes here. Real quick, speaking of auditions, both Terror on the Coast in Gulfport, Mississippi, and Dent Schoolhouse are hosting auditions upcoming. Actually, Terror on the Coast already had its first round of auditions. They have another one coming up. And you learned about Don't Be a Monster, Frank's Fun Run.
Yes.
Which will be August 15th through the 16th as a virtual fun run, virtual run for charity. You can learn more at Don't Be a Monster's Facebook page, basically.
Yes, exactly.
I'm not giving a Facebook URL.
Well, no, I just put it there in case you wanted to click it before we got on.
Yes, so this brings us back to our weekly question.
Yes.
So, what are some of the answers we've gotten? What small item is indispensable for your haunting?
Okay, Jake says Gatorade.
Oh, God. Hydration in general, but yes.
Gatorade. Yes. Ellie says bamboo skewers.
No, of course you would say that because...
Derek said a multi-tool. Shalisa said cough drops.
Mm.
Elliot said a drill. And Sammy Overstreet said walkie-talkies.
Ooh, walkie-talkies are a good one. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, it's weird. We don't use the walkie-talkies much on Halloween night.
Right.
Because I'm usually in just one zone the whole night. I don't have to do any street work. I don't have to do anything. I'm basically never more than about 15 feet from you.
Right.
Or where your final position is.
Exactly.
But on earlier nights, if there's dead time and I'm trying to go down the street and entice cars,
yeah.
Then yeah, I have walkie-talkies and it's urgent. That's a good one, though. Yeah. Walkie-talkies drastically changed our coordination game a little bit.
Yeah, I wish we could have little buzzers, you know, like you get at restaurants so that we can give one to each actor and say, here, carry this with you if you leave your spot during a dead time.
Yeah.
On the not Halloween, because Halloween, we don't get breaks.
No, Halloween, we're...
Yes.
Okay. Some interesting answers. And if you would like to provide your answer to what small item is indispensable to your haunting, let us know. Hauntweekly.com. We have a contact form. I finally figured out why I wasn't getting email from it. It was going straight to the archive bin.
Ah.
I apologize to the people who emailed me and I didn't see it right away.
Yeah.
That's my fault. Hauntweekly.com. There's a contact form that should work now. But also, you can leave a comment at hauntweekly.com, facebook.com/hauntweekly, twitter.com/hauntweekly, is our Twitter channel, Twitter page, Twitter account, whatever. DMs are open there. Feel free to let us know or just add us.
Right.
You can also reach us at youtube.com/hauntweekly. Comments on this video are accepted as well. And finally, you can find us at Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher, wherever finer podcasts are distributed. You will find us. And yeah, check let us know. And like I said, buttons and other odds and ends could be coming your way soon.
Yes.
Small but interesting prizes.
Yes.
Yes, and to those previous winners, to repeat, hopefully those letters will be going out Monday or Tuesday. With mail service being what it is, you'll get it sometime next year, probably.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting on a mask I ordered literally a month ago.
Yep.
So, you know. What you gonna do? Well, on that note, everyone, thank you for spending the past hour with us. Until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this has been Haunt Weekly, episode 244, doing the July-August news. We will see you guys next week.